I've been a primary author of two of the largest tax cuts in the history of our state.
Let the eagle soar.
Son, go outside and dust yourself off, and when you feel good again, come back in and talk to me. We know what they would have done, because we know what they did.
Hero. I've been there.
Missouri values. We are going to defend life, and we are going to protect our constitutional rights.
What I am trying to do to simply make tomorrow just a little bit better than today.
Welcome to the hashtag MoleEdge podcast. Just like Senator Krause said, trying to make tomorrow just a little bit better than today. We are very excited to be broadcasting from the House Lounge here in the state capitol. And we're joined by Representative Dean Plocker from St. Louis. Representative, good to have you, sir.
Great to be here. It's been an exciting time for us.
So you're fresh off the bus from the freshman tour. You toured the entire western side of the state. Did the bus really break down?
Yes. Yes, it did. What are the odds? It's a brand new bus, and they treat us very well. We're, of course, welcomed everywhere we go and warmly received. We started off here in Jeff City, and I think we made our way down first to Springfield, and then to Branson, from Branson to Joplin, then Joplin up to Kansas City.
We should do a game next week. Where in the world is Dean Plocker? Where in Missouri is Dean Plocker? I always thought the freshman tour, it's interesting to see all the sites the state has to offer, but in particular, I think it's interesting to get to spend some time with people from all over the state, different backgrounds, different ideologies, and kind of find out about them, not just their districts, but find out about their family and stuff.
Well, you know, certainly getting to know the class that I will be, you know, with a little bit of luck serving with for years to come, it's going to be very important as we understand where we come from, the varying aspects that the government serves in everybody's life across the state varies across the board as we go from the very urban to the very rural, and everybody has an interesting story to tell. And getting to know the reps from areas that I have never been to, and it has been priceless. And, you know, getting to know their children's names, you know, what sports they play, where they come from. Yeah.
We always like to thank at the top of our broadcast the Carpenters Union, the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce, and Republic Services for making this podcast possible. Again, want to thank you for having us here in one of the best places in the state. I think the House Lounge is one of the most beautiful parts of the Capitol. And if you travel the country very much, we have one of the greatest capitals. It's one of those beautiful buildings you'll see a state capitol, and it looks like the steps are done.
It is, and thank goodness, because I think we have a big inauguration taking place in a month, and you know, it's exciting to see that done. I know they've done a lot of restorative work in the House or in the Capitol building here, and any time my constituents come up, I always mention, you know, my office is not the grandest, but certainly come up to the House Lounge, and I mean, the beautiful paintings. It's an impressive building. It's an honor to serve here. I'm grateful to be back. I'm looking forward to many impressive, awesome, a lot of things to come here this next session.
Well, we should mention, I'm sure everyone's waiting, Becky hasn't quit. We all assumed she would be two podcasts with the over-under on when she would quit doing this. She is on the road today traveling, and we're going to have her, our five questions segment. We find a little bit about you. She's going to be on here in a minute. But just so everybody knows, you don't unsubscribe from the podcast just yet. She's coming back. She's on the road this week. She'll be broadcasting with us next week. We're going to have her on the phone here in a minute. I want to talk a little bit. You mentioned inauguration. Tell me about what do you think of the governor-elect so far?
I'm excited. I mean, he comes in with kind of new blood, a new perspective. You know, he's not a lifer government person. I respect that. I respect what he's accomplished in life. I'm excited, quite honestly, though, too, that he's from St. Louis. I think that's exciting for me. He's went to Parkland North High School. And he brings a different experience, and he's been very welcoming. I'm very happy to have been. I've met him numerous times. Sheena's very nice, and I'm really excited to work with him.
So, have you talked to the governor-elect yet? Has he asked you what you think state needs to do? Or?
He's reached out to all of us, as far as I know. From the freshman class, I know that his office has directly contacted us and asked, hey, listen, what are your legislative priorities? What do your constituents think? Why did you get elected? Why did you do this? So, no, I mean, the outreach has been great, and I hope that continues. And I know we're really looking forward to getting started.
So when you get started in January, give me what you're going to be talking about.
Well, I think it's our game plan is no secret. I mean, I think we laid it out there in the election. The primaries and everything that was going forward, everything we've been sort of beating the drum on for the last couple of years, and I think labor reform is going to be first out of the gate. Tort reform is also going to be pushed hard. And I guess the real question is how much do we get done this year? And then once we get that done, where do we go from there? And that's going to be the telling tale on how we grow jobs and how we continue to move Missouri forward.
So let's assume you're successful in 2017. Let's assume you right to work, paycheck protection. You do some kind of tort reform, whatever that looks like. Do you touch the Missouri plan? Do you mess with the judges? Or
you know, I mean, as a lawyer, I greatly respect the Missouri plan. You know, anytime you bring in somebody into an office, you're going to have politics at play. And yeah. I think when you have an elected judge, you have a different dynamic of politics. And I think if you look at how the people voted in this last election cycle with reform regarding elections, you're going to have more of that if you would directly elect all of our judges. So if we would... I don't know what we'll do with the Missouri plan. I know that there's been cries to remove it, change it. I don't know. I haven't seen any actual proposal.
Let me ask you this. If you make these changes in 2017, how many jobs do you create in 2018?
Good question. I mean, we're going to face some serious challenges. The budget is one. I mean, I think being a responsible leader in government, you've got to manage your books like just as well as you do your home. And we're facing a $200 million shortfall right now. Governor Nixon just withheld another $51 million from the budget. Touring the state this last week, we see all the outcries for the need that Missourians have. And we want to meet many of those needs, but we also have to be good stewards of our budget.
What about the need? I mean, I hear people that are very excited about these new business regulations that will restrict labor unions. They're very excited about shuffling up court plans and tort reform. I became a Republican because I want to see tax cuts. And Missourians haven't had their taxes cut in over 100 years. And if there's a budget shortfall, they won't again. I mean, part of the tax cuts, I think maybe one where Kansas got off the track is they cut tax. They didn't cut government. When is it? Everybody's talking about, oh, terrible government cuts. What's wrong with cutting government?
I'm all for reducing size of government. I think government is needlessly involved in so many things we do, and we add bureaucracy to it. Now, cutting the size of government would be great. I think Missouri has proportionally far more employees in government than other surrounding states of similar size. Oh, I take Indiana, yeah, for example. We do have a proposed tax cut. It's not more proposed. It's Senate Bill 19, I believe. This predated my admittance to the House. But those tax cuts are in play, provided we meet certain economic standards. And a lot of our economic standards with regard to our budget are also national.
And don't you think it's going to be hard to meet for the economy to grow? I mean, if you come in and do these things to cut unions and to change the tort laws, well, that's all fine. But why would you still not put your business in Kansas? I mean, if it's advantageous on the tax side, I don't think a lot of businesses plan for lawsuits. I know there's some insurance things in that, but to me, I wonder, you know, you wonder if people get off the reservation a little bit about all these other things and forget. I always thought you were Republican if you wanted a smaller government and lower taxes. You're Democrat if you wanted people to pay more and get more services. That's sort of where the dividing line came to me. I wonder, is there a way to, I mean, it looks to me like everyone's fretting like the sky's falling. How do you think your constituents' lives are impacted if the state government cut back 10%?
Well, I guess the big question is 10% of what? 10% of transportation, 10% of education. I mean, our children need a bright future. We need to offer a good education. We toured some charter schools. I liked what I saw with the charter schools. I think that less government, in my mind, also means maybe fewer employees, but also less government regulations. In my district alone, I mean, I've spoken to many businesses who get a little exhausted with the numerous regulations that are thrown at them at the municipal level, at the county level, and then at the state level. I think there needs to be greater symmetry with how those regulations are imposed upon them.
And I think maybe one of the greatest enemy of small business is the government. The state government does everything they can do to harass you, send you bills. You wonder, it's just so imposing. You have to work to pay the taxes, to pay these bureaucrats to harass you all day. Well, I mean, I think it'd be a great idea if you passed a law that said every bureaucrat every day has to write a business owner and thank them, because they're not sitting over the Truman Building without those business owners. I think it might remind them of what they do for a living and why they get to do it.
Well, and I do believe that. That's why I like term limits. I'm a little bit older than
you. We should have term limits for bureaucrats.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that might be a great idea.
Yeah. Term limits for lobbyists, term limits for bureaucrats.
There you go.
Term limits for everything. Well, you know, I think that Missouri's moving in the right direction. I'm positive. I think the national perspective affects us greatly. I look at surrounding states, and we can paint a bleak picture with our $200 million shortfall. But I think if you look further east, Missouri's doing good things. Illinois is not. Kansas is in dire straits.
Is Kansas in dire straits?
From what I understand.
Do you think the regular citizen of Kansas is deflated because the president of University of Kansas only makes $500,000 a year, not $1 million? I mean, I thought it was funny. I watched a Senate committee hearing where somebody from Mizzou came in, and this is a person that pulled up in a brand new nice SUV, had four or five staff people with him. The person made $250,000 a year, and he was talking about how terrible it was that kids had to pay more. Well, what does he think they're paying for? I mean, it seems a little odd that a guy making $500,000 off those kids' back is concerned about the kids. I know where you could cut first. I mean, you have professors that make six-figure salaries and sit on their brains all day. I mean, to me, there's a stark conundrum of a superintendent that makes, like Lee Summitt superintendent. You know, I think maybe he could do without an indoor and outdoor pool at his lake house. And maybe that's where you cut back a little bit. It always was an odd thing to me to see these administrators come in and whine about money that have become millionaires off the backs of the taxpayers and the students.
Certainly. I think that I'm a big advocate of going to college for the right reasons. I mean, I think you look at athletics, too. I mean, we spend a lot of money on athletics, and what are we delivering to our students? Are they getting out and getting good jobs? What are we giving them while they're in college? Are we giving them the right tools they need to get out and get a job? And I know that we looked at some of the curriculum that they offer at the University of Missouri, and I'm not so sure the 50 Shades of Grey classes that I've heard of are necessary while you're in university. You can read the book or watch the movie and judge for yourself, but you need to be taught the basics, and you need to be able to jump out and get a job. And most employers want people that are ready to work and not someone that they have to train themselves. And I think workforce development, we continually hear that these employers are looking for, or that are people that are ready to get to work, someone that they don't have to train themselves. And we have to look to our universities to say, what are you teaching these students so that they can jump out and get immediately involved in the workforce?
You went to college. You got a degree that you could now use to make a living. It seems to me, you know, I see a lot of people that went to college. I'm not sure that degree had a lot of value. I don't know that they make more money or have an enriched life for having that degree. I think maybe, I don't know, we've set up a thing in our society where college is success. After high school, you go to college, and that makes you a success. That's not really true in America anymore, is it?
It would seem not, in a way. I mean, we were told, go to college, you'll live well.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, there's supply and demand there, too. I mean, we graduate a lot of students, and one piece of paper may not be equivalent to another piece of paper from a different institution as well. That's capitalism. I like competition.
Speaking of mentioned capitalism, we'd like to thank our sponsors, the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce. I think they're big fans of capitalism. Republic Services and the Carpenters Union. While we're talking, let's talk about Donald Trump for a second. Seems to be a pretty good start to me.
It seems to be. I mean, he seems to be vetting his candidates for his cabinet. I'm happy. I think the man's going to be a man of his word, and he will move this country in a better direction. And I
loved his EPA pick. That's great.
His Department of Education pick, his Defense Secretary pick. I think we as citizens have a lot to look forward to. I'm excited about January. I think we will be moving in a different direction. I will do my best to continue to move Missouri forward, to get government out of our lives. I'm excited.
I thought it was interesting. I was reading an article about some legislator that said, we want to get rid of tax credits. And literally, while I'm watching Donald Trump use tax credits to save jobs at Carrier, it's an interesting part of the party. I think that if you guys, I don't know how far you'll get down on your list of priorities, but I saw the Post-Dispatch. They hate tax credits. Interesting. You can argue whether the Post-Dispatch are the greatest businessmen that ever lived or not, but the Post-Dispatch argues, get rid of tax credits. Donald Trump seemed to use them very effectively. Where do you think your caucus comes down?
Well, I think when the citizens are asked to pay an inordinate amount of money to reward certain businesses in favor of other businesses, that's not really capitalism. And I do believe...
Is the state paying, though?
I mean, we're collecting money and we're allocating those funds, right? So when we're not collecting from one party and what we're collecting from another and showing favoritism, then yes, that's not necessarily fair. I think you have to diligently look at
how you... think what Donald Trump did with carriers fair?
I'm not exactly familiar with that deal. But, you know, I'm...
To me, I think it goes back to the businesses are so overtaxed that they can't be competitive in America. Barack Obama's taken us to...
Well, it's overtaxed and overregulated. Yeah. I mean, you look at the EPA, what the EPA requires our businesses to do to compete with businesses in China that don't have any EPA regulations.
Do you worry that Missouri's DNR has some of the same traits of the EPA?
I think any government has... It grows.
Yeah.
And the EPA has been allowed to grow. And it grows beyond perhaps its intended consequences and has effects beyond what people had originally imagined when they first created that. And I think if you look at any government, we now infiltrate so many components of life. And so, yes, I think that we have to be good stewards of keeping government in check.
Speaking of good stewards, we want to now go to our AT&T, we'll call the AT&T phone line. We have Becky Lohman, our podcast co-host. We call her Becky Third Red, and finally Pastor Lohman. Becky, you're traveling today. Are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good to see you, Becky, earlier this week while on the freshman tour.
Good to chat with you again. I pulled over. I'm in Roachport. I'm in Representative Bazey's district. I'm on the side of the road, so I'm not texting and driving. I'm not doing anything dangerous. I'm fully... engage safely with you all on this podcast today.
I don't believe Rob. I think she's driving.
No. I promise. My word is my bond. I promise you I'm pulled over in park on the side of the road.
So one of the favorite thing we like to do is we like to talk a little politics. I like to learn a little about the legislators. So Becky has this great thing. We call it five questions. Dean, are you ready for this?
I hope so.
Now I'm going to have to look you in the eye while she asks, and I'll relay to Becky your facial expression because these questions are generally pretty probing. But I'll try to do a read. Becky, take it away.
Okay, five questions. So, Representative Plucker, you have been on the freshman tour this week. You have sort of a special perspective being someone that's experienced the legislature, but you've never been on freshman tour before because you were elected in a special election. What's been the highlight of the freshman tour for you?
You know, the highlight's really the people that I'm on the tour with. Getting to know my freshman class has been great. The perspective of the freshman tour is different, though, in that having sat through the legislative session last year, seeing how now certain avenues and businesses, people in Missouri are asking certain things of the legislature. Now I'm actually able to see how that might be applied. So it's a different perspective. But the best part of the tour, clearly, is getting to know the freshman class.
What's one freshman that you really like and you think is going to be a star?
Well, I'm not going to name anyone individually. But I will say this. We have a class that... I don't think we don't talk necessarily along party lines. We've gotten to know each other as individuals and respect each other. We hang out. I don't think people look at each other as Democrats and Republicans.
Give me one that's just annoying that nobody wants to sit on the bus with.
I certainly wouldn't do that.
I love it. Yeah, I'm sure you're king of that bus.
Well, we have fun, and we try to make the most of it. Some of our trips have been long, 4 hours on a tight bus.
I heard Gene Evans is a troublemaker.
You know, I think everybody has their own, I guess, personalities, and I don't think Gene's is any more different than anyone else's.
I heard Daron McGee, Nick Shore, and Gene Evans were the real troublemakers. They got you guys in trouble and ran you off the road, right, once?
Randomly. Well, I know several people have been late getting on the bus, and the bus did break down.
So not to name any names, Representative Gregory.
I the biggest problem. Yeah, we really are. I have nothing to do with it.
What's the next question?
Okay, I'll save you. We'll move to the second question. Favorite movie of all time?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I mean, I'm more of a historical documentary drama type person. I don't watch a lot of movies, sadly. I was just watching Patton the other day. I mean, that's just an all-time
movie.
Classic.
Oh.
I'm looking at other. I was watching a colorized version of the 1939 Dorothy what was the tornado one?
Wizard
the Wizard of Oz, along with
I thought this podcast was taking a turn there for a second.
Exactly. Gone with the Wind. I mean, you know, we're sitting there watching these older movies and appreciating them for how slow they move and how they tell a story rather than watch things move so quickly like they do today on Twitter and Facebook.
Becky, I got to ask you, what's your favorite movie?
Pulp Fiction.
Oh, what a great movie. Oh, my God.
A little twisted, yes.
I can watch that over and over and over and over and still think it's interesting and find new stuff to get it.
I can give you mine. It starts with da, 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 da. I love The Godfather. I even like 3. I mean, it's not that good, but I even like 3.
Okay, we'll start calling you The Godfather. Is that kind of weird?
Well, I don't want to get on Caleb Jones's Podfather's toes. We got to be careful with that.
That's true. The dead horse. You never want to wake up with a dead horse in your bed.
Exactly. I don't want Caleb Jones putting a dead horse in
your bed. Question 3. Representative Parker, so you're an attorney. What has been the biggest legal challenge that you've ever confronted as a lawyer?
Ooh. Well, that's interesting. Well, I mean, you certainly have to recognize who you're serving, what your role is. Some of the biggest challenges have been when I've served as a municipal judge in Pine Lawn, trying to both enforce the law and be appreciative of the circumstances for which people are in front of you. I think as a lawyer, one of the things that I've also learned is that people do come to you often with the idea that they can use you to expound some of their ideas that necessarily, you got to just check what you're representing, who and why. And it's been challenging. It's been fruitful. I've enjoyed it. I like people. I like getting to know people, and I like helping people. And I think being a lawyer has allowed me to do that. And that's one of the reasons why I decided to try out and run for State House, because I see my kids and I see future, and I want to help people. I want to help my kids have a better future. And, law is a very diverse, sort of the best liberal arts education you can get.
Becky, you're bringing heat with the questions today from the road. I mean, you're burning the hotline up.
I know. I'm on fire. I appreciate that. Thanks. I'm glad you're back to questions.
Yeah.
Question number 4. If you could have dinner or drink, whatever your poison is, with any politician living or dead, who do you pick? Do you have dinner or drinks
left? Oh, yeah. You know, and there's, again, you just can't pick one because of the circumstances. But, I mean, I would
no,
certainly...
No, that's the game. You pick one.
That's why there's 5 questions.
You
I mean...
Pick one. I mean, I almost need a lifeline here of who the best one... I mean, you go with the easy ones. But, I mean, you know, obviously you could choose Abraham Lincoln or George Washington or Alexander Hamilton. Maybe President Kennedy. I guess it would have to be the mood at the moment of what I was thinking about or wondering.
I thought he was going to say Speaker Richardson and Ann Wagner.
I guess it depends. Are you wanting to go out and have some cocktails and have some fun, or are you wanting to get, into the history and become a better politician? It depends on your mood. I can appreciate
Maggie,
that.
Give me, historically, let's pick somebody that's dead. Who are you going to go have dinner with?
Who am I going to want to dinner with?
Yeah.
JFK. JFK.
Good call. That's solid call. Solid call.
Okay, are we moving on to question number 5? Last question. So Christmas is right around the corner. I know that you, Representative Parker, you have kids. I'm sure you're doing the Christmas shopping. What is the best Christmas gift that you've ever gotten?
Boom.
In your entire life?
Oh, well, that's good. I think the best Christmas gift I've ever gotten so much hasn't been necessarily a physical item, but it was, we're going to take the family skiing. So, spending time with my family. And I'm blessed. My wife at home has been holding the fort this week. It's with Christmas around the corner, shopping. My son just had his first basketball practice yesterday. My daughter just did her first cartwheel. It's been a hard week to be gone. So really the best Christmas gift is spending time with your family. And you look back on that. When you're a kid, you want some, fun, flashy game. But, in hindsight, it's really family.
Yeah, but like we were thinking like an actual gift,
Yeah, I was like, I'm a jerk. I already know. I have my Michael Jordan basketball jersey that I got.
Nice.
In terms of physical gift, I'm a kid at heart. I liked video games. We had an Intellivision growing up, a similar component of Atari, and I loved it. You know, I mean, but that's just a too easy give me, you know, layup type thing.
No, see, yeah, my family, whatever, they're nice people. I mean, whatever. But when in the Christmas of 1985, Santa Claus brought me, 1987, brought me a regular Nintendo, the very first Nintendo. And I thought I was the absolute man. I mean, I was set. We played a gajillion hours. My dad, it would bug the crap out of him. The one thing I promise to do with Gussie is I'm never going to give him a grief about playing video games in his spare time. Because my dad would say that, I'd be like, just stop, dude. It's my free time. I'm 12 years old. Leave me alone.
I've learned that Minecraft is almost a drug. It's obsessive.
Ooh, I've heard that.
My children will obsess over Minecraft. It is crazy. It's nuts. So I'm a little bit attentive to the fact that you can't give them too many games like that. They'll just sit at home the whole time.
So, Becky, yours was the Jordan jersey?
Mine was a Michael Jordan replica shorts and jersey. And I thought, similar to you, I thought I was like the coolest kid ever. I don't know that the other kids thought I was the coolest kid ever, but I definitely did.
Okay.
Scallop basketball in my backyard, and I was just, couldn't have been happier.
Becky, can you stick around for the last 2 minutes while we do predictions?
Yeah, absolutely.
Prediction, do you believe Becky's actually pulled over? Is she driving?
She's driving.
Yeah, I'm totally with that. We're both saying you're driving.
She's also reading your questions.
Yeah, reading. She's probably texting somebody about dinner tonight.
I might accidentally drop this call then.
No, AT&T's got a great network. They're not going to let you drop that call, I-70. So next prediction, how many votes is Right to Work getting in the House?
That's a tough call. I mean, to be honest with you, I guess I think what the speaker has said, it's not really, I mean, it's a lot easier to get to 82 now than 109. And last year on the floor, for a number of votes, we paid attention. You had to get to 109. In fact, you really wanted to send a message by getting 112, 114. I think we lost some seats with Right to Work. We picked a couple up for Right to Work. It'll probably be more along party lines again.
I'll drop you the number 105. I also think, why do people vote for stuff that they're not passionate about if it's going to hurt them?
I would agree. And what's nice is now the pressure's not there.
Yeah.
The pressure's not going to be there from the party to say, hey, listen, we need your vote. So, whether it's 105 or 101 or 131, it doesn't matter. It's more than 82.
Becky, give us a prediction.
103.
103, nice. Came in exacto. What do you guys do first, labor laws or ethics?
Labor.
Labor. Becky, what do you think happens? Labor or ethics?
Well, absolutely labor, no question.
I think labor is the smart play, but I don't know. I think you have a governor that probably doesn't view the world like many people in the Capitol. Be an interesting time. We've seen before with the U.S. Senate race, it looks like Claire McCaskill's got a lot of reason to run. Steve Vlog, give me your prediction on who her opponent is.
Who? Yeah, a number of names have come out. Ann Wagner. Mm-hmm. Peter Kinder, Governor Kinder. It's a tight field. I mean, in a way. I mean, and I guess really the what I've been hearing in my district, if Ann decides to run, if Congresswoman Ann Wagner leaves, then who runs for the second congressional? I mean, there's a lot.
I heard that's Dean Plogger, but we've got to wrap up here. But give me a quick name.
Ann Wagner for sure, but maybe an outsider that we haven't even thought of yet.
I'll drop you a prediction. If it's not Ann Wagner, it'll be Todd Ridgen or Josh Hawley. We got to wrap it up, though, on that. I want to thank the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce, the Carpenters Union, the Public Services on Hashtag Mullets Podcast. We'll see you next week when Becky will be back in studio to prove to you guys she didn't quit.
Thank you for having me.
See you next week.